That's correct, Your Honor. These are my kids. Some of you might know Maria Malay, Melanie Malay,
Josh.
Folks, I know what it feels like to hurt. And I know what it feels like. I don't know what it felt like for my great-grandfather who gambled away the farm in Iowa. I don't know what that was like for him. I can only imagine the shame and the guilt and the embarrassment that he had to experience. You know, my great-grandfather, last time he saw my dad was when my dad was 3 years old. Never saw him again. My grandfather never went back to his homeland. I don't know what kind of pain my grandfather lived through, but when I listen to his children talk and they talk about depression, man, I know what that's like. My heart grieves for my great-grandfather. My heart grieves for my grandfather, and my heart deeply grieves for my dad and my uncle. Because I think of all the work that they did, it's gone. All the work that my dad did, absolutely, it's obliterated. My dad gave his life for this farm, and it's just stretch. I know what it feels like to deeply hurt. I know what it feels like to be stripped naked. I know what it feels like to be humiliated. I don't have a lot of stuff to my name. But my greatest accomplishment, I'm 55 years old, my greatest accomplishment's right there. It's right there. This land, okay, farm, you know, this land produced three amazing young people. And I'm not the only one who says these three people are amazing. These three people know what it feels like to hurt. They know what it's like to grow up and have their feet in the dirt. They know what it's like to raise good food. They know what it's like to grow up on a farm that's alive and vibrant. And they are stronger, more solid people because they grew up on the land and they had their feet in the dirt and they had to work. And they're stronger emotionally and they're stronger spiritually because they also had to learn what it feels like to hurt. Maria studied here during the collapse in Dittmar, did some amazing work, right, on reflecting on the family farm. After that, she's going to be a teacher, and she is going to be a teacher. And after 4 years of studying here, realized, hey, I don't want to be a teacher. So she graduated and worked in the office recruiting. And then Maria was listening to a still voice inside of her that said, it's time for you to move on. And she jumped onto a pedal bike about 3 summers ago and pedaled across Canada. And then that fall went off to grad school and now is a full-fledged psychologist. She's referred to as a rock star. Her teacher, you're a rock star. Right? Why? Because she knows what it feels like to hurt. She's not afraid to engage people who are hurting. And She sits down with someone. She entered into a program. Getting into that program, you had to have a 4.0 average. Get into the program, you had a 4.0 average. She graduated that program with a 4.0 average. She's at the top of her class with the best of the best. And now she's working with the Sexual Assault Center in Edmonton. Right? I didn't see that one coming. There's a kid who was growing up to be a teacher, and now she cares for women who have been sexually violated and raped. And she's doing amazing work. Because she grew up in this family farm, and she knows what it feels like to hurt. And she's lived her life with a deep sense of community who just simply have loved her and cared for her. Melanie, in the middle, just got married in August. Melanie studied here, got a degree in sociology. Didn't really know what she was going to do, but when she graduated, she went to work at L'Arche. But not really sure what she was about. But would find herself in a hospital bed. That was in 08. Just about lost her in 08. And then in 2010, we just about lost her again. And I mean that. She got a blood disorder that came this close to taking her life. She comes out of that experience and she goes, I want to be a nurse. Why? Because I know what a good nurse is. You never know what life's going to teach you, right? No one saw that one coming, right? What do you mean Melanie wants to be a nurse? Oh, is she a good nurse? Boy, is she a good nurse. Why? She knows what it feels like to hurt, and she engaged people who are hurting. For some strange reason, my kids are not afraid of pain. And she has been invited, you know, as she's caring, doing student nursing care, she's been invited by patients to sit on their bed and hear stories, right? Melanie loves to hear people's stories. Melanie already is making such a huge difference in this world. And who would have thunk, right, that her passion and her calling was to be a nurse? My son Joshua. I got to hear, handsome young man. he's 22 years old. When my boy was 12 years old, he was told that he could be a professional football player at 12 in Camrose. He was told when he was 14, he said, what Gretzky is to hockey, Josh is to football. When he began his first year in junior football, his head coach, who is a professional football player, said, Josh, you will go as far in this game as you want. This spring, as he's playing football in Edmonton, he gets a concussion. The beginning of the as they're preparing for the first game, he gets another concussion. And they sideline him. And 2 weeks ago, he stepped out on the football field for the first time this year. And was a solid football player. Boy, he didn't miss a beat. He got the most tackles to this point in the game. Let me tell you, there's a dad sitting in the stand, you know, Doc, number 33, Josh Malang. In that game in the fourth quarter, as he's running, he stepped like this, blew out his right knee. Two concussions, blows out his right knee. I said, Josh, you got to be done with football. We didn't see this coming, right? He's done now, right? This kid who's got this amazing future is done now with football. Doesn't matter how much talent he's got. And I don't know, folks, what... I don't know. I don't get it. But you know what I know in life? There are no accidents. There are no accidents. I don't see Josh blowing his knee and getting two concussions in an accident. I don't see, you know, me losing the farm as an accident. It's taken me 7 years to realize that I actually know in my heart that as the Holy Spirit took Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days, the Holy Spirit absolutely drove me into the deepest, deepest valley. Now let me tell you, I wasn't thinking that 8 years ago, but I know in my heart it was my journey in life was to lose it all, was to be stripped down to nothing and to hit the valley because of what I've learned out of that. Because now 8 years later, I know what I'm here for. I now know what I'm here for. The folks I'm trying to communicate in this is that every one of you has a calling, every one of you has a passion. Every one of you has a purpose and a reason for why you're here. And there's no fluke, there's no accident why you're here. There's no fluke, there's no accident why you're in this class. But it may take 30 years to figure it out why you're here, okay? We didn't see Maria becoming a psychologist. We didn't see Melanie becoming a nurse. Not sure what Josh is going to do. He's going to change the world. He's a leader. Solid inside. Then where's got to be at? When did I start?
Well, what was your calling? At what point in your farming and your life did you make that decision? And were you brought up a strong Christian? Or?
When you trace my family roots, my Malayan family, they go back to the 1600s in Norway. There's two things that are consistent. We're all farmers. By the way, I'm the last Malayan farmer. Okay, I'm the last one. We can go back all the way to the 1600s. Two things consistent in our family. Farmers, people of faith. Two things that are consistent. On a Saturday afternoon, about the third Saturday in November of 1988, I was sitting on the toilet in my home. And I sat on the toilet at about 4:30 in the afternoon, and I felt in my heart God calling me to be a pastor. 25 years ago. Can I say something? When my dad died in 1993, okay, this is like this farm, right? That back to that picture, that farm, I was offered $400,000. In 1993, I could have sold that farm for $400,000. That's like over $1 million today. Now, I'm already in Augustana. I'm studying to be a pastor and loving all this stuff, man. And I had 1 year left here, and I could have sold the farm, could have moved to Saskatoon to study in our Lutheran seminary. Can you imagine if you could have done the $400,000? Man, I could have bought a big house in Saskatoon, and my kids would have been set, and I would have been set. And I would have become ordained, and everybody would have gone, yes, right? Everybody would have clapped their hands and gone, yes. And I'm really grateful that I said no. I'm really grateful that I said no thank you, because I wanted to keep farming, and I'm very grateful that I lost absolutely everything because of what it taught me. And I could go on and on about what this journey has taught me. I'm really glad I didn't sell that farm. I learned a whole lot more by a bailiff showing up and hauling away everything. I learned a whole lot more about this journey of life and having my face in the dirt and wanting to die than I ever would have by reading a book. Oh, I got something to say, right? You know, my boy. I invited my son to come here. I want my son to come here to understand him. I invited him to come tonight, and he said that he sent me a text just after I got here. He said, "I'm not going to make it to your talk, but speak with passion, Father." Isn't that cool?